السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. وی آر ریڈنگ اندر ملفوظ آف اور لیٹ شیخ حضرت مولانا پٹیل صاحب رحمۃ اللہ علیہ. دس ملفوظ از consideration for neighbors. So the first thing we got to ask ourselves is, who is a neighbor? Who is a neighbor? So one is the common meaning. We have a house, and the person who's staying next door to us, that is the neighbor. On the right side, on the left side, sometime in front of you, sometime you're living in a panhandle, person behind you, all these are neighbors. But neighbors are not confined to that. For example, you're sitting in the classroom, the person sitting next to you is also your neighbor. He's your neighbor in the classroom. You are traveling, there's a person sitting next to you, that person is your traveling companion, that person is also your neighbor. So, the ayat of every type of neighbor, for example, you're sitting here in a gathering, the person sitting next to you is your neighbor. For this gathering, is your neighbor. So in different situations, you'll have different neighbors, and we will have to be considerate to those neighbors. Right? I'll give you one experience, right? I once boarded one flight. I was early, got into the aeroplane early, but obviously there were some people that were earlier than me. Right? So now where our seat is, in the aeroplane, where your seat is, so you have a compartment above. Right? So that compartment is for your hand luggage. So you sit there, you put your hand luggage on the top, and you sit down there. Now I got there, I opened the compartment. The compartment is full. Nobody is sitting there. How come that compartment is full? Open the next one, is also full. Open the one on the behind that seat, that one is also full. So, there's no place to put your hand luggage. So the people of the aircraft, they will come now and show you maybe one compartment 10 seats away from where you are sitting, right? And tell you to put it there. Now you will not argue, you just need to put your bag there. But it is a taklif. It's a taklif now. I'm sitting here. Why do you have a hand luggage? A hand luggage is to keep things that you may need on the flight. Now, elderly people may need medication. A sugar patient may need something to eat. Or the person may require his insulin. A person is feeling cold, now he wants his jacket from there. Or he wants his scarf or his warm hat or whatever. So that's why you have a hand luggage. So things are on hand. Things that you need from there, they are on hand. But now your hand luggage is 10 spaces away. So if you need something, one is it a taklif to you. One is, it is a taklif to you, right? that you have to now walk so far to go and get it. Then it's a taklif to those people who are sitting there now. Now each time you're going to go there, I mean, it's awkward now. You're going there, that man is sitting with his wife or whatever. Now you must go there. You are opening the compartment above their heads to take out something of yours. Now how are you going to handle your bag there? So you're going to carry the bag and go to your seat. Then take out whatever you want. Then come back here to put the bag away. Now how much taklif for everybody? Now why was this problem caused? Why was there no place where I'm sitting above me? I paid the same amount as the other passengers, so I supposed to have my compartment here above my head. So why didn't I have my compartment above my head? Because a Muslim family, right, grandparents took their grandchildren for Umrah. Right? Now I don't know, half a dozen grandchildren. Now maybe the nani, nana or dadi, dada, whoever it was. So they got all these children there. So they all got their own hand luggage. Over and above that, each child had one remote control car. One big size remote control car. So now that thing took up all the space there. Now you as a traveler, if you know, I got my hand luggage. What size hand luggage do they allow? What weight must be my hand luggage? So that's what I must carry. I mustn't carry anything more than that. If each passenger follows the rule, if each passenger, because they have allocated a space for each passenger, right? So if each passenger follows the rule that I got a 7 kg hand luggage, or if it, some flights may be allowing you 9 kg or whatever, but I got, say for example, they're allowing 7 kg, so I've got a 7 kg hand luggage, and it is cabin luggage size. It's not camel size, it's cabin luggage size, right? Then nobody will have a problem. But now I want to carry that hand luggage with one packet, with one, what? Oh, what you wear on your back? One knapsack, right? And then I bought something from the duty-free shop also. Now, but where am I going to put all these things now? So I'm not thinking that I'm going to give taklif to others. The only thing I'm thinking is my things must go. My things must go. I got my things. Now this is incorrect. This is incorrect. Right? One day, I was checking in the flight. So, you know now, sometime people you're traveling with, they say, now, no, Morana, you wait, you don't worry, no, you relax, give the passport, we'll sort everything out. So this person used to travel a lot with Hazrat Moiz Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. Hazrat Moiz Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, he was a bypass patient. So when they do a bypass, many a time, they cut your leg. And they cut your vein in the leg. The artery, you know. They remove an artery. So, many people that go for bypass, they tell you that this troubles you more after that than the heart. A lot of people experience this. So, Hazrat, after that, he couldn't sit down for long. He needed to always stretch his leg. So even on a flight, he'll walk. He used to walk. So now, for a person like that, If you can get him a seat with more leg room, makes sense. Right? A passenger like that should be given the space with more leg room. Or you got a lady that's got a baby. So they need those seats there in the front. There's more leg room. If they need to put a... Bassinet for the baby inside, right? So they got the facility for it there. So it's understandable if they have to request those seats. Now, I'm standing here and I'm seeing these two people, they are there by the... And they're making magajmari. You know magajmari? They're not just giving the passport and getting the boarding pass. Right? They are talking and talking, and that bichara is looking in the computer and they are saying something. I said, no, something is not right. And it was a short flight from Cape Town, we're coming back to Durban. 2 hours flight. Till first break. You know, short flight. So I went there by the counter. I said, kya ho raha hai? Now nobody is talking. Now that lady there who's on the other side, I say, excuse me ma'am, what's going on? She says, no, your colleagues here, they are asking me to find you a seat with more leg room. I told her, ma'am, issue the boarding pass. Just issue the boarding pass. Then I shouted them. I said, what you're doing now? They said, no, it's we're just making a request, you know, we're making a request. So I said, see, bhai, we got no mazuri, you know what I mean? We young, we fit, we healthy. Why must we take that space? Rad, if you went there, you gave your ID or your passport or whatever, and they give you a boarding pass, and it happened to be that, make shukr to Allah Ta'ala. So why are you insisting you want it? Do you have some medical problem? Do you have... Rather leave those seats for somebody who got that problem. Now, that person is going to issue us that boarding pass. Maybe somebody elderly is going to come, somebody who's got some leg problem, back problem, whatever, and they really require that seat. And now we young people, we took it. So don't do that. Just leave it. Once, it's not too much to do with neighbors, but it just came to my mind now because we're talking about airport. One time, Durban Airport, this new King Shaka one. So when they just built the airport and they started the flights, there were no chairs in the airport. They were still waiting for the chairs to come. Right? So there was no seating in the airport. So Azmaiz Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali was flying somewhere. We came there to the airport to see him off. So there was a room there, it's there even now if you go upstairs where the departures are, there's a room there for unaccompanied minors. If a minor is traveling and that minor is unaccompanied, right? So now you make arrangements with the airline, etc. So they had a room there for unaccompanied minors. That room already had some couches there. And there were no minors. There was nobody in that room. So few of Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali's murids, they went to the airport staff. And they said to them that, see, because Hazrat normally he'll have one majlis there on the airport before he leaves, make dua, etc. So they're looking, now, where can we sit now? You know, now there's no chairs, where Hazrat is going to sit? How are we going to have the majlis? So they approached the airport staff and they said, that, see, This room is there. There's no miners around. There's no other seating place. Is it okay if we use it for a short while? So those people said, no problem at all. You can utilize the room. So these people came back very happy to Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali. The comfort of the Shaykh gives the murid happiness. If the Shaykh is made comfortable, the murid gets happy. That's a taqaza of muhabbat, isn't it? If somebody you love is comfortable, it makes you happy. The parents, they love their children. Sometimes they cannot afford certain things, but they will do it for their children. When they see their children wearing new clothes on Eid day, the mother may be wearing her old clothes, father may be wearing his old clothes, but he sees children wearing new clothes, that gives them more joy than them wearing new clothes. It's a taqaza of love, taqaza of muhabbat. Yeah. So, these people were very happy now that Hazrat will have a place to sit, be able to have the majlis nicely. So they came to tell Hazrat. They said, Hazrat, there is one room there. We got permission to use the room. So Hazrat looked at the room. So he said, no, we won't go there. So these people are saying, no, we got permission. So Hazrat said, that room is for unaccompanied minors. Do we look like minors? We all have our big, big beards and everything here. Do we look like minors? So they said, no, there's no minors around. So we asked the airport staff and they gave permission that we can use it. So look at the foresight of the elders. Eh? So Hazrat mentioned, what a beautiful thing he mentioned. He said, see, there's a big board there, unaccompanied minors. Now you got permission, that means it's fine if we use the room. I mean, the airport staff gave permission, so there's no problem we can go use the room. Every other passenger here in the airport, will they know that we got permission? They won't know that we got permission. When they're going to see us in that room, all big, big kurtas and duris and all old people now, and we're sitting in the room of unaccompanied minors. And everybody is going to be jealous, right? Because there's no chairs. People want chairs. And now that's the only place with chairs. Nobody is using it because it's for unaccompanied minors. And now we go away inside there to use it. What impression will we leave in the minds of people regarding Islam? You see, their whole objective is the upliftment of the deen of Allah Ta'ala. So anything that's going to impact negatively on that, even though it may be for my own comfort, no. My comfort must be sacrificed, the deen of Allah Ta'ala must be uplifted. Understand? So when it comes to neighbors, the same principle applies. My comfort must be sacrificed for the comfort of my neighbor. Last night, Azam Abdul Haq Magda Sahab, Naan Barakatuh, was emphasizing this point. So Maulana says, comfort. I must sacrifice my comfort for the comfort of others. It sounds sweet. Like Azam Abdul Patel Sahab Rahmatullah Ali used to say, rave. Rave the engine. Rave the engine. But everybody understands what they're talking about. It sounds so sweet when they say it. Hazrat Maulana Abdul Haq Umarji Sahab Rahmatullah Ali. I don't know if you people ever met him. So he used to give bayans. Urdu, Gujarati, English, everything all mixed up. Right? But so sweet. Affects the heart. Affects the heart. So, coming back to the neighbors now, the rights of the neighbor, right? So Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali mentions, if one's neighbors are poor, one's neighbors are poor, you got poor neighbors, then to bribe outside, or why you got a fan on? You got hoodies and fan, jackets and fan. Don't make sense. Eh? So many people wearing jersey or you got fan. Khair. So Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali says that if the neighbors are poor, then to bribe outside, right? Or to cook food in such a place which would cause the aroma of that food to reach their homes. This projects a lack of sympathy and mercy. Those poor neighbors would be desirous of such food, but would not be able to afford it. They can't afford it. At such a time, cook inside, or at least send a little bit to them. You're brying outside. Now obviously the smell is going to go. Sometime the older people, they can make sabr. The children, they're going to feel for it, right? So pack a little bit and send it. Don't only make your braai Saturday night, leftovers, and I have it with my eggs on Sunday morning breakfast. No, take some of that leftovers and send it to the neighbor. Now if you can't do that, then at least don't cook outside that the neighbor is getting now the smell. So this is a riayat, but consideration. Azmai Patel Sahib Rahmatullahi never had braai at his house, because he said the smell goes too far. Even sometime a beggar can be walking past, he too will get the smell. And that person's heart will get hurt that he can't afford it. So you shouldn't have. In a hadith sharif, Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam enumerated many rights of neighbors. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said, when delicious food is prepared in your homes, the mana of the hadith, not the exact words, take care that the aroma of your pot does not cause sorrow to him and his children. They mustn't reach there, right? But now how are you going to stop the smoke? How are you going to stop the aroma? So then, at least send to him, send to the neighbor some of that food as a gift. Send some food. So this is how considerate we have to be. Talking about traveling. Now one is that neighbor there by the house. Talking about traveling. Sometime you get on an aeroplane, because we travel more on aeroplanes, but people traveling on buses, people traveling on trains, people traveling on in the kumbis, and even private motor cars also, right? So now you're traveling in an aeroplane, and now you get one person, he got his headphones, but the headphones are bigger than the head. So big now, these new headphones, so big size. Right? And now, whatever he is listening to, he got that thing so loud. Now what is the object of having headphones? That you don't disturb anybody else. What you listening to, you listen to it, don't disturb other people. Now what is the need to buy such a powerful headphones which defeats the object of a headphone? That thing is so loud, some phones maybe are not even so loud. Now that thing is playing so loud, person next to you, he may have had a heavy day, or he's going for some meetings or whatever, he's trying to get a nap, catch a 40 winks during the flight. Now he's being disturbed. Sometimes the thing that you are listening to is haram. The thing that you're listening to is haram. The person next to you don't want to listen to that. Now the person is forced to listen. How do you close your ears up? If you've got some ear plugs or something, you can plug your ears. More than that, what can you do? So we have to be considerate, right? Sometime you get few friends, they are traveling. They're talking so loudly. They don't understand that we are in an aeroplane or in a motor car or in a train. It's a confined space. Now we're talking so loudly. Other people don't want to hear your stories. Why are you talking so loudly? If you're discussing something with your friend, you're traveling, right? You're discussing something, even if it is something deeny. So you talk at a pitch that he can hear you. Not the people in the front can hear you, people in the back can hear you, those people can hear you, everybody can hear you. Now sometimes you get this, especially amongst youngsters, right? Now, six of them, eight of them, one team, sometime they're traveling. Now, what a din they make. What a din they make. How much of disturbance. And sometime it can be in a motor car also. In a motor car also you can be. Your father is trying to, he's driving. He's trying to concentrate. The children in the back seat, they're causing such a commotion there. It's disturbing. Sometime you are traveling in a train, whatever. Now the conversations that you are having, right? You're making ghibat. Right? You're making ghibat. Or you're talking something that is of an impermissible nature. Now the other people in the motor car, what do they do? You're traveling from Durban or Pietermaritzburg, you're going to Johannesburg. Right? Now say for example, the daughter is in the car. Right? Her father is driving. Her mother is sitting there in the passenger seat. In the back seat is her father's sister. Right? Father's sister, her foy, in the back seat. Now, they are having a discussion. The father, his sister, and the wife. Yeah? Having a discussion. And this discussion is ghibat. They're talking now about that sister-in-law, and that brother-in-law, and this one, and that one. They're making ghibat. Now, this child who is sitting there, what is she going to do? Can she jump off? She's stuck here in the prison of the car. She can't go anywhere else. And now ghibat is taking place. So that shows no consideration. No consideration at all. Right? In a classroom situation, you are sitting there. Now you got your space, right? You got your desk. You got your space. But you brought your whole grocery cupboard and came. You brought the whole of Checkers stationery cupboard and came. Right? Now you need so much of space now. Now you are encroaching on the next person. You're encroaching on the next person. The manner in which you're sitting, your hand is going now on that person's desk. Then you like you got ants in your pants. Every 2 minutes, you're moving. Now you're disturbing the class. Then sometime, you'll get one person, they have cross-country conversations. that person is sitting in that end of the class, this person is sitting on the other end of the class. Now they're having a cross-country conversation, right? With sign language, eyes, fingers. The ustad is teaching. Other students are trying to concentrate, and now you've got a cross-country carrying on here. Now, are you not going to disturb the others? You're going to disturb the others. So are you making riayat of your satis now, who are your neighbors there in the class? Not making riayat. So at all times, we have to be checking ourselves. I must not be a cause of takleef to anyone. I go, now you boys come to the age, everybody wants a driver's license, you know. All want driver's license now. So you get your driver's license. The ajeeb thing, when you get your driver's license, then every opportunity you get, you want to jump in the car. Then you will be asking your mummy, you don't need milk and bread. You don't need anything from the vegetable, fruit shop. What about the chemist? You don't need anything from anywhere. The car just doesn't need a burn. Maybe if you don't need anything, but the battery will go dead, man. You need to use it a little bit. So every opportunity you want to jump in the car, right? Later on, when you now got your own car, and your mother really needs something, then you're too busy. I'll see weekend, ma. I'm very busy now. Then you're too busy. But that was a separate, it just came Jumla Mu'tariza in between. So, coming back to what I wanted to say, you drive your vehicle, now you go to the shop, you go to the mall, wherever you're going, how did I park my car? There is a parking bay. I supposed to be in the center of the parking bay. Right? More or less. The way the parking bay is designed, that if I'm in the center, other car is in the center, we'll be able to open our doors nicely, we'll be able to come out, there won't be no takleef to anybody. Now I went and I parked the car too close to the car on the left. I'm only coming out on the right, so I'm only worried about I came out nicely. But that person there who has to get into his car, have I not given that person takleef now? Now what would it cost me if I got off the car, I checked, you know what, no man, I'm a little bit too much to the left side, right? Let me straighten up. What would it cost you? Reverse. Get the vehicle straight, put it back in. Right? Now, if that person who you gave takleef to, right? You gave that person takleef. And that person had to squeeze in and go into his car. He cursed you. He doesn't even know who you are. He cursed you. Right? What we learned about curses? When somebody curses somebody, what happens? What happens to a curse, right? You did the Hadith Sharif. You did a Hadith on curses. When you curse somebody, what happens? The curse goes up, right? Goes to the skies. So it doesn't find any way to enter the skies. So it comes down. No place to go in the ground. So it goes to the right, goes to the left, no place, it can't find any exit. So then it goes to the person who was cursed. Goes to the person who was cursed. If that curse was befitting that person, it will affect him. If it is not befitting that person, then it will go back to the person who made the curse. Right? So I'm asking you, if you, because of no consideration, you parked incorrectly and you gave that person taklif, are you worthy of his curse or not? Isn't you are mahal now of his curse? Because you gave him taklif. I'm not saying you must curse people. We get very worried if somebody curses us. Right? But 9 out of 10 times, you are not mahal of that curse. But when we give people taklif, we give people taklif, then we have become mahal of that curse. Now that curse we don't worry about. So consideration. Last night, Hazrat Muhammad Abdul Haq Magda sahab, almost his whole majlis was on akhlaq. Right? If you have to simplify akhlaq, you give a simple definition of akhlaq. It's to give up your comfort for the comfort of others. Isn't it? Give up what you like for somebody else. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you cannot be a perfect mu'min until you do not love for your brother what you love for yourself. So you're going to give up the thing that you love for yourself and give it to your brother. You're going to treat him how you would like to be treated. So all this makes good akhlaq, good character. The main thing is to be considerate, to think that this action of mine, how is it going to impact? The manner in which I am talking, how is it going to impact? Person is in a classroom situation. Now the person is being disruptive. Person is being disruptive. Is he not now, his disruptiveness, is it not now affecting the entire class? It's affecting the ustad, it's affecting the whole class. Right? Sometimes you get students, they ask khamokha questions. What's khamokha? For nothing they're asking questions. Now the student is thinking till his nose. Why the student is asking a question? Say no, then we won't do too much sabak. So tonight, takrar will be very short. And we already made mutala, right? And I want to take it easy tonight. So now you're asking questions. You're engaging the ustad. You're asking questions. One is where the ustad has told you to ask. That's a different thing. But here now the ustad is trying to continue with the asbaq. And you are now asking beja khamokha questions. And what's your maqsad is, we'll do less sabak. Right? So you achieved your objective. The ustad is to answer your questions. You achieved your objective. Now you get into a habit. So if Friday night we don't want to make mutala, takrar and everything now, so we'll just ask questions. And sometimes it's a joint effort. Well, the same person can't be asking the question. The students, they plan it from the night before. Right? Must ask. I'm going to ask this and ask that. So what's going to happen? The sabak is going to move at a slower pace. Right? Then when it comes to the last term, what's going to happen? The kitab needs to get finished. So now we're going to run now. Right? So when we're going to run, are we going to be able to explain? No. So did we not shortchange ourselves? And did we not shortchange those people who really want to learn? They really want to learn. Now we few delinquents, we got together, we made up our mind, we don't want to learn, make mutala and all Friday night. So Friday morning in that lesson, we will ask this, ask that. So Saturday morning, We finish make mutala Thursday, Friday, we're taking it easy. Right? But now, are we then, is this not like we're robbing the others who want to learn? We're putting the ustad into taklif because come end of the year, now he has to run with work under pressure, need to finish the syllabus, and then you're shortchanging yourself also. Because when you're going to run through the lessons, now how much explanation you're going to get? Understand? So the ayat, consideration in every situation. Every situation. Bad akhlaq comes about when we only think of ourselves. Me, myself and I. You only think of yourself. Bad akhlaq comes about. You're driving. The lane is coming into one. It happened to me last night. That's why I'm telling you. So the lane is coming into one. Now, no, I must go here. I mustn't give that photo away. I'll be in front of him. Even if you go in front of him, how far are you going to go? You can't go far. Everybody is stuck in the traffic. From three lanes, you became two lanes. From two lanes, you're going into one lane. So it's going to be, you're going to be jammed up in the traffic for a while. So now, that fellow came next to you, he put his indicator, because he needs to come onto this side. Right? Now you're not giving him way. No, I'm in front now. He can't do anything, isn't it? He has to come here. That lane is closed. He has to come here. Now you say, no, I'm not giving him way. I'm just going to go. I'm not going to give him way. Right? What you achieve? The car behind you gave him way. He came behind you. How far away you went? How much delay to you? Nothing. But you just feel nice. I'm in the front. Right? But if at that moment you said, all right, let me give this vehicle way. Now that fellow, he'll put his hazards on. Isn't it? Put his hazards on. In other words, thank you. Like, you know? Now you'll flash him. Right? And now if he saw, he may be a truck driver, right? Sulman. He's a Sulman. In other words, he's a Musalman. So tomorrow morning, when he picks up the newspaper, and they say that these Afghani people are terrorists, so he'll be telling his friends, what terrorists? These people, these are the best people you can find, these Musalmans. Right? They kind-hearted people, they give you way in the traffic, they are standing in a queue, they allow you to go front. Hey, these people can't be terrorist people. It's a da'wat to Islam, isn't it? Your akhlaq. The kuffar not going to see how you're reading your namaz and which saf you are in and all that. How much tawaf you made by the Baytullah, they're not going to see all that. Your akhlaq is their window to Islam. Your akhlaq. So wherever we are, whatever we're doing, watch our behavior. I'm going to conclude on this. Azmanis Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to say that we don't want to enter Islam fully. We don't want to enter Islam fully. And then we're standing at the doorway and not allowing anybody else to enter. In other words, with our bad akhlaq, people are seeing us and they're thinking, oh, I'm going to accept this religion now. That's why Hazrat used to mention that time, that nowadays we have to tell people that if you want to learn Islam, then we'll give you books to read. You'll have to read what Islam is from the books. You can't learn what Islam is from the behavior of the Muslim. Whereas what Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. Read like how you see me reading, read like that. Perform your salah. How you see me doing it, do it. So there was practical Islam. Practically, you looked at the Muslim and you understood what Islam is. But today the Muslim is like a chameleon. Muslim became like a chameleon. So Allah Ta'ala, give me tawfiq, give you tawfiq. Allah Ta'ala guide us and give us tawfiq to make mukammal islah. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayh. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.